So if I could kind of give you a title for today's teaching, for today's sermon, it would be this: pursue purpose, but don't let your purpose perplex you. I'm going to say that again. Pursue purpose, but don't let pursuing your purpose cause you to be perplexed. Amen. Don't cause it or allow it to cause you to come into a place of complexity, complication, a place of double-mindedness, because you're always trying to reach this one defined place, this preferred place, that you miss the journey along the way, that you miss the awesome opportunities along the way, that you often mishandle some of the purposes that you are supposed to walk in because you're trying to find this one defined preferred purpose that you desire. Amen. And that doesn't necessarily just pertains to young folk. That pertains to any age that you are. Because until the day you go back to be with the Lord, until the day you die, until the Lord calls you home, you will always be in purpose, on purpose. I'm going to say that again. I like that. Until the day you die, until the day you go home to be with the Lord, you will always be in purpose, on purpose. You will always have a sense of purpose for life, or you should always have a sense of purpose for life. One of the worst things that we have created in our modern day, in our modern age, and as a working class, as a society, one of the worst things that we've done is created this thing called retirement. And let me tell you why that's one of the worst. It's good as it pertains to making sure that you don't exhaust your life on a job, right? But what it's bad for, we misinterpret retirement. Retirement is not intended for you to stop having purpose and stop living and just relax until you go on and be with the Lord. Retirement is the end of a season of life. Retirement is the end of a part of your purpose, and is a part. It is a point of transition into your next purpose in your life. So we tend to just want to get to this place of retirement so that I can relax. And if you look biblically, nobody in the kingdom of God and nobody who did the work of the Lord actually retired. Why? Because God always had them pursuing purpose on purpose. There's always something that the Lord has called, created, and commissioned you to do. You don't get off, and you don't get to relax because you reach a certain age in the kingdom of God. That's not how it works in God's kingdom. He called Abraham and said, yes, at 90 years old, I want you to begin to think about starting a family. At 90 years old, he begins to have a conversation with Abraham about starting a new season in life. Think about that. So when we talk about purpose, we need to understand that God is always on purpose. I like that. I'm going to say that again. When we begin to talk about purpose, we need to understand as humans that God is always on purpose. God is always speaking purpose and purposely in your life. Amen. Now I'm going to share. I could stay right there all day. I could really stay right there all day, but I'm going to move on because I truly believe that there's something that God wants to really speak to your spirit on today. And this really connects with last week's message as we were talking about mindset and how we were talking about how you need to set your mind like you set your watch. You need to be very intentional about how you think about the next season of your life. You need to be very intentional about how you set your mind and what you were going to allow your mind to do and where you're going to allow your mind to take you in this next season of life, in this new year. So you need to set your mind. And one thing that you need to set your mind on is the purposes of God for your life. You need to set your mind, make sure that you are habitually thinking on the things that God has predestined for your life. This is what Mary did when the angel came to her and said, Hail Mary, God is pleased with you. You have found favor with the Lord. And then he pushes upon her. He casts upon her this purpose of birthing the Messiah. And it says that she held all. It says that she meditated on these things. It says that she kept these things in her heart, which means she constantly thought about the thing that God had, the purpose that God had placed on her. And so she kept it in her mind. And that is what we should also do. We should take those things that God has spoken concerning our life, whether it be through the word of God, or through a prophet, or through inspiration, however that purpose is revealed to you, it is very important that you keep those things on your mind, not necessarily for you to try to make them happen, but so that you can make sure that when they happen, you give God the glory and say, Lord, you said this was going to happen, and it happened. Amen? And so let's take a look at I'm gonna start off with a quote that I actually put on Facebook last week, or actually back in December. One of the things that I used to get caught up in that I struggled with is double-mindedness. And another thing that I struggled with is pursuing a position. For a long time, because I had this degree in business management, I would always pursue a job or a role in my job pursuing a management position. And so I would always pursue I've had management positions in the past, but it was this one position called captain that I wanted to reach. And my wife can tell you, I would say every year, this is the year I'm going to make captain. I'm going to make captain in this job. I'm going to make captain. That was like the premier place that I needed to get to. And God kept shutting that door. And the crazy thing about me not being able to reach this position of captain was that the people that were actually getting the job, I trained them when they came into the job. I trained the people that actually obtained the position that I was trying to obtain. Now talk about perplexed. Talk about getting upset with God. Talk about getting frustrated with God. Right? I'm like, Lord, I know I'm qualified. I know I'm the man for the job. I know that I can accomplish the task and the purpose in this job. And you gave me the means to do it. You gave me the degree. You gave me the skill. You gave me the ability. You gave me all the goods that I needed to be in this position. And what God says, yes, I gave you all the goods to potentially be in that position, but that is not the purpose by which I have you in this position. And so what he had to do is he had to humble me for a moment to get me to the place that I needed to go. And what ended up happening after a season of me pursuing this place of captain, I got upset and said, I'm leaving. I'm quitting the hospital system. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to look for another job. And right before I moved out of place, I had a mentor and a manager friend of mine who said, Jeremy, before you make that move, he said, I want you to think about pursuing this other position called training coordinator. He said, because as I've looked at you over the years, and as I have seen how you work with people over the years, he said, every single officer, every single lieutenant that we have on one of our 7 campuses that is leading the charge on that campus of security, he said, you trained all 7 of them. He said, do you not see where your strength is? He said, your strength is not in being the captain. He said, your strength is in training those who will lead campuses. And so what I did is I had to humble myself. And you got to realize, taking this new position that I did not want, I told my wife, I said, I don't want this position. This is not what I'm going after. I'm not going after the training lieutenant position. I don't want that one. That one is not as preeminent. It's not as cool as the other. It doesn't have as much authority. It doesn't have as much weight. It doesn't have as much preeminence as the other position. But the captain, but my friend said, but that's where you bear your fruit. He said, that's where you bear the most fruit. And so I came home and talked to my wife, and she said, you know what? She said, I think you should just go up for it. She said, just give it a try. And I still didn't want to do it. And I prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit said, take the job. Take the training lieutenant position. And begrudgingly, you know how the Bible says, do nothing begrudgingly, where I broke that. Well, I just disobeyed God in that place. So I took this role, this training lieutenant position, begrudgingly. It was a $1 pay cut. Now, that ain't a lot in some people's books, but when you got a new family and little kids, a $1 pay cut is a big deal, right? And so it was a $1 pay cut. And I was like, I kept saying to myself when I took this position, I said, God, it doesn't make sense for me to go down to go up. It doesn't make sense for me to go down when I want to go up. But God says, no, you're going down is what pushes you up. Do you guys know about, you know, how you cock a gun back, or you cock back a spring, and it actually, you know, one of the things you do with a bow and arrow is that when you pull it back, it actually builds momentum to shoot you forward. So what God was trying to do in that moment was to pull me back so that I would have enough momentum to move forward. But see, if you miss the pulling back because you look at it if you look at it as a missed opportunity, you'll miss the momentum that you need to excel. I don't know. So y'all are not responding like I'm preaching on today. Sometimes we miss the momentum because we misinterpret the momentum as a missed opportunity. You're looking at it as a missed opportunity, and God says, no, I'm trying to create momentum in your life. You think going down means just going down, but God says, in my kingdom, he said, those things that look silly, those things that look crazy, those things that don't make sense, the foolish things of the world are going to confound the wise. He said, the way I do things in my kingdom is when you look like you're going down, he said, I'm preparing you to spring up. You see, we put seeds in the ground. We intentionally take a seed and we take it down into the ground. Why do we do that? Because you can't take a seed and put it up on a shelf and expect it to grow. We take seeds and we put them in the ground. We dig holes for seeds so that we can place them in the ground. We push them down. We stomp dirt on them. We cover them up hidden to where nobody can see them, because we believe that one day they're going to spring forth and bear fruit. I'm preaching up in here. Because somebody needs to hear that your going down moment is not your giving up moment. I'm going to say it again. Your going down moment is not your giving up moment. Maybe. Just maybe. You are a seed that's being planted so that later on you can bear fruit for somebody else to pick. Maybe, just maybe, God is pulling you back so that he can spring you forward. Don't always look at the situation as if somebody's taking something away from you. Sometimes you have to let go of things. Sometimes you have to release things out of your hands so that God has room to put something else in your hands. Sometimes you're carrying too much, and so God can't give you too much because you'll break under the weight. He said, but if you just let go of what's in your hands, you'll be able to carry that which I'm trying to place in your arms. Amen. So don't look at the situation as going down. It might just be springing forward. Amen. I was feeling good right there for a moment. Man, I like that. I don't know. I'm preaching to myself, Elder. I'm preaching to myself because I've had some going down moments in my life. I've had some going down moments in my life, but I tell you what, I'm seeing the fruit thereof. I'm seeing the fruit thereof. And sometimes God will even allow others to put you down so that later you can bear the very fruit that they need. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God will allow others to put you down so that you can go down into the dirt and so that you can be fertilized, so that you can receive the nutrients that you need, so that later on you can produce fruit that they might even need. So that is why you need to always stay in a place of grace, because sometimes people don't even know that they're pushing fruit out of you. Sometimes people don't even know that they're helping you to produce, so that when you produce, they can pick from the tree that you've produced. You see, sometimes God allows people to trample upon you. Sometimes God allows people to break you. Sometimes God allows people to put you down because he's trying to produce in you the very thing that will change them. Are y'all hearing me on today? Sometimes God allows you to experience something so that when you bear the fruit later, you know exactly who to take that fruit to. Sometimes God will allow you to experience things in certain people so that later on when you have the solution, you can bring it to the very people that you know need it. Are y'all hearing me today? So don't just cut that person off. Don't just hate that person. Don't hate the person. Hate the sin. But know that when God produces the fruit, you have the right solution for the right person at the right time. You see, it was man who put Jesus on the cross. But Jesus on the cross, by going to the cross, produced the solution that man needed. He said, your sin put me there, but I'm there because of your sin. He said, your sin put me on the cross, but it's my blood that's going to wash the very sin that put me on the cross away. Oh, man. So the very thing that put me on the cross is the very thing I'm going to destroy. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know, but maybe, just maybe, God is allowing you to go through what you go through because you have the solution on the inside of you. Maybe, just maybe. Thank you, Lord. Whew, this is going different than what I expected. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But here's what I also want to tell you about pursuing your purpose on today. I don't want you to get perplexed in pursuing your purpose. I put something out on Facebook on December 15th that says, stop chasing positions and start pursuing purpose. Because when you pursue purpose, purpose will properly position you. I'm going to say that again. Stop chasing positions and start pursuing purpose, because when you pursue purpose, purpose will properly position you. When you get in your purpose and you walk in your purpose will take you to the positions that are preserved for you. Did y'all hear me? I said, when you start pursuing your purpose will take you to the positions that have been predestined for you. That means nobody else can get the position that has been predestined for you. But you can only get there by pursuing the purpose of God in your life. But here's where we sometimes get perplexed. We get so caught up in trying to pursue that purpose that we don't realize that there are purposes that lead to the purpose. What do you mean? Give me an example. I'm going to give you some examples just here in a minute, but I want to give you a couple of scriptures. Number one, Psalms 57:2. Psalms 57:2. The scripture says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Now, the commentary that goes along with the scripture is this. It says, this is the key to understanding God's purpose for your life. Because we make the purpose of God so deep and so complicated that most people never truly reach their purpose. God has numbered your days and will fulfill every purpose he has for you. Now, I want you to realize it says that God has numbered your days. The Bible tells us that our days are numbered. From the moment that we were conceived in our mother's womb, we had a number of days, a certain amount of time to accomplish the purpose by which God created us. But it also says that that God will fulfill every purpose. Now, every means all. Every means all, which means if there's every of something or if there's all of something, that means it's more than one. So I am here to present to you today the idea that life is made up of a series of purposes that you have to accomplish. Now, I'm going to read some other scriptures. Romans 8 and 28 reads, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." It did not say that God causes all things to work together for your purpose. I want you to catch this. It says that God causes all things, good, bad, indifferent, to work together for the good of those who love God, and loving God means having a relationship with him. You can't love somebody that you don't have a relationship with. And to those who are called or foreordained, or which y'all know when I say calling, that means you have been invited to participate in. To those who have been invited according to his purpose. So God has an overall purpose that he wants you to be involved in and that he's inviting you to be a part of. And within his purpose, your purposes are to help accomplish his purpose. Now, let me explain why I say purposes and why that's important. Ephesians 1 and 11, read it this way. "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things," what did I say, all or every was? All, including. "Who works all things after the counsel of his will." Again, God is working all the things that go on in your life to fit his purpose, to make up his purpose, not your purpose, his purpose. For the scripture says in Romans 9 and 17, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the earth." Now, I want y'all to take note in Romans 9 and 17. When we read, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you," I want y'all to take note of who he was talking about, because the first part of that scripture, it says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh." Now, who was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was the slave owner of God's people. And it says in the scriptures that God raised him up for this purpose, so that he may demonstrate his power in him. Now, Pharaoh is an unbelieving sun worshiper. He's serving idol gods, and he himself, Pharaoh, has designated himself as a god. But God says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up for the purpose by which I have in my own counsel." See, I have a purpose, and I'm going to use your purposes to fulfill my purposes. Amen? And what do you mean? What does that mean, Jeremy? Don't get so caught up in pursuing your purpose and what you want that you miss the purpose of God. That you get out of line with God's purposes and his purpose for your life. Again, we can get so bombarded and so caught up in pursuing this idea of purpose that we become perplexed. But I want to give you a couple of assignments of a couple of examples of what it means to fulfill the many purposes in your life. Number one, be excellent in your assignment no matter the situation and the time. When I was working in security and law enforcement and I was trying to obtain that position of captain, I came to a point to where you already know, I've already said that I accepted this training lieutenant position. And I decided that at least in those 2 years while I was in that position, I was going to show up with excellence. I already had the gift, I already had the skills, I already had the ability as a natural born trainer to train others. I had the fruit. The fruit was bearing itself. Others were seeing the fruit. And so I decided to say I was going to be excellent in this role. Well, in those 2 years of pursuing excellence in that time of purpose, when it came time for me to transition to the next role, I was told by the hiring manager for the next job, had you not fulfilled those 2 years as a training lieutenant in this department, we would not have promoted you or given you the job for the training coordinator for the entire physician practice group. Now, you've got to hear what I'm saying. I had to fulfill my purpose in those 2 years as training lieutenant for one division so that I could eventually become the training coordinator for an entire physician practice group later. So when you're pursuing your purpose, pursue the purpose that you have right now. Don't get so caught up in pursuing the end result that you become complacent in the present purpose. Fulfill the present purpose that you have right now, no matter how long it is, and as you fulfill that temporary purpose, as you fulfill that temporary momentary purpose, it will get you closer to the next purpose. There were three servants. There was a master and there was three servants, and he gave them all a number of talents. He gave five, one he gave three, and one he gave one. The one who had five was excellent in making sure that he doubled his profit. He took what God gave him. He was very intentional about it. He was excellent with his work. And when his master came back, he said, I am back to reap what I have sown into your life. I am here to obtain and take hold of whatever you have done, whatever you have produced with that which I've given you. And he said, look, master, you gave me five, I have five more. He said, good, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, therefore I will make you ruler over many. Then the one that had three said, look, you gave me three and I produced three more. I was excellent in my work. Then he said, same thing. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, for you have been good over a few things, I will make you ruler over many. And then he comes to the last one who had one, and he said, what do you have to produce? He said, I knew that you are a harsh ruler, that you reap where you don't sow. And I mean, he really just insulted the master. And he said, I took what you gave me, and I buried it in the ground. And this is all I have to give to you. I'm giving back to you what you gave me. Now the ruler responds to him and says, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy. Why did he call him wicked? Now I understand why he called him lazy. But why did he call him wicked? Y'all know what wicked is? Like wicker? Which is it's like demonic. It's like a stronghold. It's like you're under some type of spell or some type of witchcraft. He was actually saying that you have been influenced by witchcraft because you didn't take what I gave you and produce with it something greater. He said you've allowed yourself to be influenced by something other than what I gave you. And so therefore, because you were influenced by something that I didn't give you and that I didn't put in you, he said, that is called, that is what, that, then I consider you wicked and lazy. Then he takes what he gave that one and gave it to the five because he trusted the five to do something with it. He said, I know the one who had the five is going to be excellent with this, so I'm going to take it from the one and I'm going to give it to the one who had five. Because the one who had one missed his opportunity to be excellent in his present purpose. And when he failed to be excellent in his present purpose, he missed his opportunity to excel into a greater level of purpose. Notice that those who were ruler over a few became ruler over many. So their level of purpose increased, and their influence within that purpose increased because they were committed and faithful to the present purpose that they had. Now, I want to share a story with you, and then we'll be done. There was a young man by the name of David who was out in the field tending to the sheep. And while he's out there tending to the sheep, because you got to realize that back in that time, tending to a group of sheep or livestock was how a family made their money. It was their source of income. It was their source of wealth. And so what David was doing was he was out in the field preserving his family's wealth. I need y'all to hear it. Because when we talk about David being out in the shepherd field, we think it's just something lowly and just, you know, he's just doing something, a menial job. It's not really important. No, David was out there protecting his family's investment. Talk about a purpose. You're preserving and protecting the very livelihood of your family's wealth. That is not a light thing, but it all goes back to how you perceive what you're doing in the moment. It's how you perceive your purpose in the moment. David could have easily said, this is not an important job. My brother's doing all kind of great things, but my dad has me out here in the field tending to these sheep. No, change your perspective and say, no, I am not just tending to a group of sheep. I am protecting my family's livelihood and their investment. It's all about how you perceive the purpose. But while he's out there protecting his family's investment, there comes a bear. And it says that David killed the bear with a tool called a slingshot. And it says on another occasion, another day, a lion comes. And David continues to protect his family's investment. And he takes the lion by the beard and he kills the lion. So he's out there getting excellent and protecting his family's investment. He's not only fulfilling his purpose, but he's fulfilling his purpose with unimaginable odds. He's going above and beyond in what he's doing in the present moment so that he can have a good resume later. And on one particular day, there comes a recruiter by the name of Samuel, a prophet, who says, I'm here to anoint one of your sons as king, the next king of Israel. And so he goes through all 11 sons and says, none of these fit the job description. I need y'all to hear me. If you could play for just a little bit, because I feel like I'm going somewhere. He said that none of them fit the job description. He says, do you have any more sons? And Jesse says, yes, I have one of my young. He said, I have my youngest son who's just out there. I imagine he said, he's just out there protecting the family's investments by unimaginable odds. And Samuel says, go get him, for we will not move and we will not do anything until he comes and steps into his next purpose. So they go and get David, and I'm guessing David on his way is there. He's like, what in the world is going on? One day I'm here tending to the sheep, and the next thing I know, somebody's calling me in to be anointed the king over an entire nation of people. And so he comes into the house. And it says that he was anointed king. And I don't know if we actually have this in, if you know, if this is just commentary or if it's just, you know, if it's actually in the Bible, but David, we all say that David went back to the field to tend to the sheep. So he gets promoted and gets anointed king for a future date and time. He gets a picture of his future purpose, but still has to go back out to his present purpose and finish the excellence in that purpose. I need y'all to hear me. He gets a picture of his main purpose. I'm sure he gets excited about it. Maybe he gets a little bit scared about it because that's a great responsibility. But he gets anointed king. He gets a picture of his purpose, but has to go back out to the field to finish his present purpose. I'm going to say that again. He gets a picture of his future purpose, but is sent back to the field to finish his present purpose. Then one day, David gets a call, a messenger, a letter. Something comes and says, the king wants you to come to his quarters. And I'm thinking, David says, oh yeah, I've been anointed king, and it's time for me to step into my kingdom. But they say, on your way here, make sure you bring your harp. Make sure you bring your instrument. Why do they want me to bring my instrument? Because your resume says you're a skilled musician. And we need you to come here, and we just need you to play a little bit of music so that our present king can go to sleep and get some rest, because there's demons tormenting him. And we heard that you were an excellent musician, and we just need you to do this one assignment. So he goes from tending the sheep, that purpose, to now having a new assignment. It's not the king, it's not the throne that he has been anointed for, but he's got his foot in the door. It puts him in a position to get his foot in the door. You see, as David was excellent in the field, his resume positioned him. His resume put him in the very place that he would one day rule. But it was his skill and excellence in his skill as a musician that properly positioned him there. You see, David was part of David's purpose. I'm going to tell y'all all of David's purposes. It was his purpose to be a shepherd, because that purpose led to another opportunity. It was his purpose to be a musician, and that purpose of being an excellent musician led him to another opportunity. It said on his resume that he was a warrior, and that he was excellent warrior. Killing a lion and a bear, I think, qualifies you for being a great warrior. And it positioned him to do another assignment in the kingdom that he would one day rule. He goes and he kills and slays a giant. And on that day, he fulfilled a purpose that was going to lead him to his purpose. Because once he slayed the giant with excellence, it says that the crowd and the people that he would one day rule over began to say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. People begin to recognize his purpose. Oh, I need y'all to hear me. Other people begin to recognize his purpose, although he was not fully in his purpose. He was just on his way to his purpose. But others begin to recognize the purpose by which he was born. When you're walking in purpose, you don't have to announce your purpose. Your purpose will announce you. I'm going to say that again. When you're walking in your purpose, you don't have to announce your purpose, because your purpose will announce you. And it'll sound bigger than what you think it is. You're just simply walking your purpose, doing your thing,
And you'll say, man, I'm just killing my thousands. And people say, but to us, it looks like you're killing 10,000. I need y'all to hear me. What looks menial to you, what looks average to you, what looks normal to you, if you're doing it on purpose, it looks like 10,000 to other people. What looks average to you, if you're doing it as a purpose unto God, it looks like the supernatural to other people. David comes to Goliath and he says, I'm going to kill you just like I killed the lion and the bear. And what was just another day of fighting to David, another day of just killing another giant to David, was a saving of an entire nation. I need y'all to hear me. I said, what looked like just another day of battle for David was actually the saving of an entire nation. So when you're walking in your purpose and you're just saying, oh, this is just another day. I'm tired of doing this thing, Lord. God, I don't want to keep walking down this path. I don't want to just stay on this thing. I want to reach my purpose. God says, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep slaying your bears. Just keep slaying your lions. Just keep slaying your giants, because what you're doing is you're saving a nation. Pursue your purpose. Pursue your purpose. But don't let pursuing your purpose perplex you. Be excellent in your present purpose, in your present moment. Take your 3 and make it more. Take your 5 and make it more. Don't bury your gift. Don't bury your purpose. Don't bury the thing that God gave you. Just continue to walk it out. And as you walk towards your purpose, as you walk towards your destiny, as you walk toward that predestined place that God has for you, it'll be like walking from the field, from the sheep field into your daddy's house, and then walking from your daddy's house into the kingdom, and then walking from the kingdom palace into the battlefield, and from the battlefield into the throne. I need y'all to hear me. David walked his way into his purpose. He fought his way into his purpose. He slingshotted his way into his purpose. He played the harp his way into his purpose. He kept going toward his purpose. He kept going toward his purpose. He kept walking toward his purpose. He kept walking toward his purpose. He kept fulfilling his daily purpose. He kept stepping toward his purpose until one day, he sat on the throne. But it was a process to get to the throne. It would have been premature for David just to go from the sheepfold to the throne. He would have been out of order. And he would have missed his opportunity to make his name great. You see, you don't have to prove your purpose. Your purpose will prove you. You don't have to prove. David did not have to prove that he was anointed king, because the anointing proved him. This year, 2021, I prophesy to you and to everybody that's watching, I prophesy that you will no longer be perplexed about your purpose, because as you pursue your purpose and as you fulfill every purpose that you have in your present moment, it's going to promote you into your main purpose, into that predestined place that's already been prepared for you.